All right, in the book of Psalms tonight, 119, I'm going to read 8 verses. Matter of fact, the book of Psalms 119 is in sections of 8s. Each verse is out of, in sections of 8 verses and all the way through it. But I want to read the second set, which would be found in verse 9. And we'll read these together. You don't have to stand. But he said, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" Question. "By taking heed thereto according to thy word." If you want to have a clean way, the word of God's already telling us tonight, you get it through the word of God. "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege of coming to the house of God on this Wednesday night. Lord, when multitude of people have things that they'd rather do than go to the house of God. We know the affairs of life and the cares of life keep us busy. But thank you tonight, Lord, for these people who have come to the house of God, Lord, looking to get something from the throne. And I pray tonight that they not just come to sit, and Lord, that they just hear us words, and may not what we say tonight be a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal, but Father, may it be something from heaven that we can feast on, something that we can grow in, something that we can be challenged by, something that can strengthen us. And we walk out, we can say it's been good to be down to the Lord's house, and we've been blessed and stirred and moved. We thank you, Lord, for the goodness of God. Thank you for the faithfulness of the people of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now looking tonight out of the Word of God, I want you to look at these things in verse number 9. He talks about the young man, how can he cleanse his way? According to thy word. The word word is mentioned there. Every of these verses will symbolize and talk about the Word of God. Every verse in Psalm 119 will magnify the Word of God. I would say tonight, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, but how shall an old man cleanse his way too? Be the same word, won't it? Amen. And so then he said, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." The commandments is another phrase of the word of God. In verse 11, he said that thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. He calls the word, or sin against thee. That word is mentioned again. Verse number 12, he talks about the statutes. In verse number 13, he talks about the judgments. That's the word of God. And then in verse number 14, he talks about the testimonies. And in verse number 15, the precepts. And then in verse number 16, the word again and the statutes. And all that is referring to the word of God. I'm glad tonight that God can give us something. Out of verse 9, he said, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking," what's that word? Heed. Now, I've said this before, and I know I've given it here before, but we need to hear the Word of God. We need to heed the Word of God, and then we need to herald the Word of God. We need to get it out to the hearts and lives of men and women. So we're going down just a little bit to look at this. In verse number 15, we'll look at verse number 11. He said he hid the Word of God in his heart that he might not sin against God. That's important. We need to know that tonight. Now, I'm glad, and I believe I gave you this the other day, but I'll give it to you again. The Word of God enlightens me. The Word of God not only enlightens me, it empowers me. The Word of God enriches me and entertains me and excites me. You can't get excited over the Word of God. You got a problem. Amen. Now, the psalmist deals with something here that we need to look at. We need to hide the Word of God in our heart. How can we hide it without reading? We got to read the Word of God. We got to not only read it, but we got to heed it out of verse 9. Once we heed it, read it, And that it gets sunk down on the inside. It begins to cleanse us and walk in us and do what needs to be done. And the Word of God becomes real to us. And then how can we tonight get to the place that we won't sin against God if we don't hide the Word in our heart? How can we hide it just reading every once in a while? I want to give you this as a challenge to you tonight. Sometimes, and I know down through the years this happened, and many of you, and I appreciate it. I'm glad you read the Bible. If you don't read it but one time a day, I'm glad you read it. Amen. You ought to read it one time a day, all day. Amen. Sometimes I was talking the other day, and somebody was talking. They said they eat two or three times a day. Talked about the one lady. She said, "We just eat twice a day, once in the morning, once in the afternoon." I said, "I only eat once." Amen. Start in the morning, quit when I go to bed. But anyhow, one time a day. That's not good. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you, we ought to have that same attitude about the Word of God. You said, "I want to read my Bible so I can be a daily Bible reader." But how can you get the place tonight of getting it in your heart to hide your heart against sin and keep you out of sin if you don't do more than just read? I mean, if that's all you do is just read it. We got to look and see what he said here in, let's see, verse 15. He said what? I will what's that word? Meditate. You know what meditating is? Think on it. Amen. You got to heed it, read it, or read it, and then heed it and meditate on it. When you begin to meditate on the Word of God, what it does is begin to take over. David said in that first chapter of Psalms, "He in his law doth he meditate day and night." Amen. You said, "Well, don't he sleep?" No, I don't believe you slept all night. Most of us don't sleep all night. Sometime we do. Amen. You didn't even sleep all night when you was a baby. They had to get up. It was why you might have had a good one. But I want to tell you, we wake up during the night, and we ought to be meditating day and night. Every waking moment of our life, we ought to be meditating on the Word of God. He goes a little further to say that again, a little bit further down in the Word of God. Let me just give you this tonight, and go over in chapter 119 and verse 97. We'll look at a few of these verses, and then I'll bring you some things to help you and strengthen you, and we'll go home. In Psalm 119, verse 97, he said, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Now, what does that mean? You meditate on it. Most folks don't meditate on the Bible all day. You're meditating and thinking on things that are not of God. Amen. But we need to train ourselves that we are thinking and meditating and contemplating, and I guess what you'd say, mulling over in our mind. As a cow chews the cud, we ought to chew the cud of the Word of God. Meditate on God's holy Word. Amen. And then he goes on to say in verse 99, he said, "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation." Thinking on the things of God. Now, I guarantee you, most of you got jobs to work. You can't think on the things of God. You'd be better off if you could. Amen. But I believe in between times, in between sentences with other people and things that you have to do, that Word of God is to be put back there in the middle. Used to, when I was younger, I could memorize Scripture more than I can now. I mean, I poke it in now, and it falls back out. And I poke it back in, and it falls back out. And I think I know it, but when I get up to say it, it don't come out like it did. Amen. I think I got it down to the letter. I can dot the I's. I can cross the T's. I know the A's, the N's, the these, the all that. Amen. When I say it, can't miss a word on it. But you just give me an hour or two, and then let me quote it again, and I can't figure out where that was an A, an N, or an R, or the, or what. Amen. It's just natural, isn't it? But I can at least do one thing, and that's meditate on the things of God. Meditate on what God has done for us. Meditate on what God is doing for us, and meditate on what God will do. Amen. I let my mind get beside me every once in a while. I really do. I don't know about you. And I begin to think about what if God did this, and what if God done that, and I wish God would do this, and I wish God would do that. Sometimes he does some of it. Sometimes it don't, but I'm sure having a good time knowing he's able to do it. Amen. Now let's go a little further, backing up to verse number 89. The psalmist here says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." I'm glad we got a book tonight that's already settled. It's not going to change. I'm glad I got a Bible tonight that won't change. I'm glad it's real to me. It's been real all these ages, and it constantly will be. Look what they say in verse 103. Look at it. Here's what the psalmist said. "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Amen. Brother, that's what the word of God. Listen, it seems to be bitter. It's like a bitter pill to some. Now, you need to develop a love for the word of God tonight. And if you don't have that, you can major on that and work on that. Ask God to give you a love for the word of God. I still believe there's a lot of Christians tonight that need to pray that prayer constantly. Lord, give me a love for the word of God. We don't have too much of a love for it if we don't read it and meditate it and heed it. Now, we're not going to heed it unless we read it. Amen. And meditate on it. You meditate on the Word of God and you read the Word of God, and the next thing you know, you'll find your left foot walking in the right direction. You'll find your right foot walking in the right direction. You'll find your whole being walking in the right direction. Am I right? That's what we have to do, is meditate and read the Word of God, and it will control our being. The reason we go the wrong place is because we are not listening to the Word of God. I've been saved a long time, and I found this out. Brother, when I begin to try to walk to the right and to the left to make a detour, and occasionally I have a desire, or maybe not a desire, but a pull. Amen. Sometimes the devil tells me the road and the bridge is out. Sometimes he tries to get me to go to the right when I ought to be going to the left. Or he tries to get me to go to the left when I ought to be going to the right. Or maybe just going straight instead of going either way. And so the devil tried to convince me that I need to make a change in my direction. But I want to tell you tonight, I've meditated on the Word of God enough and loved the Word of God enough. And I say tonight, it's sweet. It's sweet. If the Word of God's bitter to you, it's simply because it's the judgments of God working in your life. The Word of God, is, and we preached on this the other day, it's better than necessary food. That's what Job said. And so we look at it tonight. It's a pot of honey, if you will. How many loves honey? Praise God. Nobody in here, I guess, does not like it. Amen. Some of you may not could eat, but I'll tell you, they ain't nothing like a biscuit and butter and some honey on it. But I'll tell you, honey, you eat a whole lot of honey, and it'll make you sick. You know that? Amen. I ain't seen too many of you get too sick on the Word of God lately. But we ought to, amen, we ought to get the place, and it sweetens our life. Reason you're so sour tonight, because you ain't had enough of the sweetening of the honey of God's Word. Amen. The honey, amen, it'll sweeten you up. If it's good to the taste, I'll tell you right now, it'll sweeten you up spiritually. Amen. I get to thinking about some of us Christians, we walk around like we've lost our best friend, like the world's coming to an end. We're believing the politicians that it's about over. Amen. I'm here to tell you tonight, the Word of God is sweet. It'll sweeten you up. It'll make you a sweeter wife, make you a sweeter husband. We ought to try more of it, oughtn't we? Amen. So we look a little bit further. The psalmist said in 105 about the Word of God, he said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." He lightens a path up, and it's a lamp to your feet. Every time you take a step, amen. If you got a lamp at your feet, what happens, brother? It lights the way. It keeps you from stumbling. Keeps you from staggering. Keeps you from falling. Thank God for the Word of God tonight that's so real. It's a light and a lamp. Praise God. No reason for you not to know. The Word of God lights the path. Amen. It brightens it up brighter than a noonday sun. I'm glad tonight the Word of God does that. So give God the praise. The psalmist goes on to say in chapter 119 and 114, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word." Bro, that's where my hope's at. We're going to talk about that a little bit in a minute. Verse 127 said, "Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold. yea, above fine gold. Job said a better than necessary food, and the psalmist says it's better money in your pocket. It's better than the riches of the world. It's better than anything you could obtain. It's better than any possession you have. The greatest thing I own tonight is my Bible and salvation. And my Bible gave me the salvation. Amen. Verse 130 said, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Then in verse 140, the psalmist says, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. And I could go on in Psalm 119. There's a few of them there just stuck out to me when I began to read them. And you ought to read those over and over and over. The word of God is so real. But I want to go back and think about it tonight. The Bible is the seed that God has. It's good seed. According to the word of God, they went out to sow, and some sowed good seed. Amen. And the Bible is the good seed. Hey, I don't have nothing else better to sow than the word of God. I'm glad I can tell men and women up and down this country, around the world tonight, that there is hope, and the word of God is the seed. When I say about the seed, I say tonight, it's God's seed. Amen. I like to think about this. It's the certified seed. Brother, these old farmers, when they went to plant corn back 100 years ago and still do today, they want to get the certified seed. They don't go down and say, I want the cheapest thing you got. I want to make sure it's going to come up and be real. Amen. I can sow my philosophy. I can sow my thoughts in my head. I could give you my ideas. I could give you my whatever I think tonight about something. But I want you to know that's not good seed. But when I take the word of God and sow that, it's certified from heaven. It's God's word. I don't have to worry about it. You see, it's the seed, the word of God, that's going to touch some man or woman. Amen. I used to think back when we first started printing that we ought to print, and the first tracts we have, had a lot of writing. I just dropped the print down real small so that I could get more in and maybe have one or two verses in there. I wasn't trying to get myself across. I wasn't trying to pat myself on the back. I wasn't trying to make a name. I just thought that's what you done. You get up and you preach and, hey, you get the word of God and give it out and you get your text and take off. But I found out the sermons that I preached down through the years that done more good are the ones that had the most word of God in them. Amen. And so I learned better down the years. I found out the word of God is what does the sowing. The word of God is what does the saving. And the word of God is what does the sanctifying. And so I took the word of God and believe it tonight. And that's what I want to preach, the word of God, what it will do. It's good seed, is it not? No, is it good seed, God's seed? It's living seed. Amen. It's alive and well. That seed remaineth in us that we cannot sin against God. I want you to know God placed down on the inside that seed, the word of God. And that word of God is what keeps us. It's not only living seed, but it's a fruit-bearing seed. Amen. You can count on it bringing forth. Now, how would you like to plant beans next spring if you plant a garden? And it comes up and you look and, boy, you better stake them things because you're just looking for beans coming out your ears. And you stake them and they just go to climbing up the trellis, whatever you put up for them. And they bloom a little, but the beans fall off and never make. Listen. Oh, what would you do? What would you think? You said, boy, I raised them and all that I went into and didn't have. Listen, the word of God is not like that. It won't fall asunder. It won't tonight, not do its job. God will send forth, and he said his word would not go out in vain, but it would, it would not return in vain, but it would go out. It would accomplish what he sends it for. Thank God for the word. It's life-giving seed, life-bearing seed. It's everlasting seed. Thank God tonight, the word of God that we meditate in, the word of God we preach up from, the word of God tonight that we meditate on is life-giving everlasting seed tonight. It brings everlasting life. It's precious. Thank God. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. And God talks about the Word being precious several times in that same chapter when he talks about the being the Word of God. And we're not redeemed by silver and gold. Amen. And not by corruptible things, but incorruptible things, which by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. It's the Word tonight. I'm glad it's treasured seed. So I give all that and I look at it, and it brings the newness of life. When I think about the Word of God and what it's done for me and how it's helped me down through, first of all, I want to say that Christ or the Lord Jesus is the author of this seed tonight. He's the author of it. He's the author and finisher of my faith. I want you to know tonight, he is the author of the Word. The Bible talks about it. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Then he goes on down to say further in that same chapter, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In other words, he tabernacled among us. He's the author. He's the author of the Word of God. Had he not come, I'd still be lost in my sin. But I'm glad he came. Amen. Ain't you glad Jesus came? Amen. It's not a figment of my imagination. I read it out of the Word of God. I've been told by other preachers. I've read it out of other preachers' books. But amen, one day I experienced the Son of God moving on the inside. Brother, that made the biggest change of all. Amen. Thank God tonight the Word is real. And it's alive forevermore. And I give God the praise. He's the author of the Word. He's the author of the seed. Secondly, Christ or the Lord Jesus is the giver of the Word. He's not only the author of it, but he gave me eternal life through the Word. He gave me that. He's a giver of life. Praise God. He's not only the author of life, he is the giver of life. I give unto you eternal life, and no man can pluck you out of my Father's hand, he said. Amen. Ain't you glad? He gives us eternal life. He didn't give me life for a day or two spiritually. Amen. He gave me life for a season physically, but he's given me eternal life forever spiritually. Amen. I will not cease to exist. You will not cease to exist. We were born in the flesh, but I want you to know, brother, when he moved into our heart, kicked the devil out of our life, brother, we got eternal life, and we have that. He is the giver of life. Thirdly, we know tonight he's the sustainer of life. He not only gives us life and authors life, he sustains us. In other words, he keeps me living. I move and I operate and I live and I move and I am. What do you call it? Animated. Brother, he is the giver of life and the animator of life. And if you will, tonight, he's the one who keeps me going. He's the one that keeps the old heart ticking. Amen. He's the one that keeps the bodies working, functioning tonight. He's the sustainer of my life. And I give him the praise for it. Spiritually speaking, is what I'm speaking of. He even keeps me physically, but he keeps me spiritually. And then we find tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ, not only the giver of life and the author of life and the sustainer of life, but he is the pattern of life. If I want to know how to live, I look at Jesus. If I know how I ought to act, I look at Jesus. I know what I ought to do, I look at Jesus. He is the pattern. Amen. Some of us pattern after others. I got to thinking about it in one of our little books I was trying to put out today and writing a little bit, and I looked at that and I talked about the kids and how that sometimes, and all of us as parents want our children to walk after the things of God, and we're to live a life in front of them that we'll hope that they'll follow our footsteps and walk in our footsteps. Amen. But it's bad when we look back and see that our footsteps weren't the things that they should have been walking in, because our footsteps weren't right. But I want to tell you tonight, our Our pattern of life should be anchored in the Word, and God is the one that gives us the life. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we see our children going in the wrong direction and wonder how in the world they got there. And then we have to look back and say, maybe we brought some of that on. Maybe we didn't, but some of it we did. And then when I look at the home situation today in America, and I look at the way things are going, and I look at the advice that kids are getting today, not only from the physical world, but from the parents. Now, we got a lot of good, godly parents. I'm not knocking that tonight. You know we have. We got some good, godly parents that are trying to raise their children correct. But we've also got some parents tonight that don't even know God and think they know God. They claim that they know God, but don't know God, and they're living a bad example. But see, Christ is our pattern for a life. Amen. He's not only that, but I got to add one more to that. He's not only the sustainer and the author of it and all the other things I just said, but He is the rewarder of our life. Amen. Remember, every deed, whether it be idle or not, every word and deed that you have, don't go unnoticed by God. He puts it down in the book of remembrance, and one of these days He'll bring it out, and we're going to be rewarded according to the deeds done in our body, whether they be good or bad. So He's going to reward us. He's going to be, chopping off some limbs or rewarding us, one of the two. We'll watch our works go up in fire, or we'll watch them go up in reward. One of the two. And I tell you tonight, it's not something that we can just play with. But I look at something else tonight out of the Word of God, and I look at this Christ, and I look out of the Word in a serious manner. There's some things that people are looking in other directions for. But Jesus is my only substitute that I can go to for eternal life. Some people are turning to other things. Good works, they're turning to church membership, they're turning to a host of things. But tonight, Jesus is my only substitute. I have nothing tonight that I can glory in but Christ, my Redeemer. He's my substitute. He took my place. It should have been me that was crucified. It should have been you that's crucified. I deserve to go to a devil's hell. I deserved already to be in there, tell you the truth. But listen, He substituted my place on the cross of Calvary. And when He got on the cross of Calvary and looked down through the eons of time, He saw me and you needing a Savior and paid that price. What a substitute. Matter of fact, He's not just a substitute. He's my only substitute. Secondly, He's not only my only substitute, but He's my only hope. If we have hope in this world only, we are most men miserable. If you put hope in your bank account, you put hope in your retirement, you put hope in some man or woman in this world, if you put hope in things, it's going to fail you. But if you put hope in Jesus, brother, it will prosper. I'm here to tell you tonight, He is my only hope. There are some times I thought I had some hope in certain things. Some people go down to the public job and I've asked people, how long you worked? I've been working there 38 years. And if I can make it 2 more years or 4 more years or maybe I say, how old are you? They'll say, I'm 60. If I can make it to 62 or 63 or 64 or 65 or whatever the retirement age might be for them, they're saying if I make it a few more years, I'm going to retire. And they look at that, and guess what happens? They've been trusting that for years. They said, I've been working there, and I've got a retirement coming from a place. And just a few months before they get ready to retire, they lay them off or they close them down. Amen, that's not much hope. But I've got hope this afternoon in God. Or maybe, I know some it's went to retirement and is going to have retirement, and they said, I'm going to retire. And just a month or two or a week or two or a day or two before they retired, they died. And God took them out of this world. Brother, I want to tell you, my hope's somewhere higher than that. My hope is out of this world. We have hope in this world only. We are most men miserable. I'm glad tonight I've got some hope. Me and my wife used to sing a song, I have hope, I have hope. There's a land that's better. I have hope. Thank God my hope is in Jesus. It's not in this world. And then we go a little bit further from that. Now I want to tell you tonight, not only that, but He is our only source of eternal life. He's my only source of anything. Amen. To draw another breath, He's my source. To have another day, He's my source. Amen. I give God the glory. I give God the praise. And I get to thinking about it tonight. God has made us His creature. We've been redeemed by His grace. We belong to Him. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. He's ours. We're His. We're His property. You don't have the right to yourself anymore. You don't have the right to your own body. You don't have the right to your own soul. God owns you. You belong to Him. Amen. I would to God we'd get every child of God to see that. Amen. We do not own ourselves. Listen, we come in this world with nothing. We'll leave out of this world with nothing. But in between that, we are God's property. Amen. You said, I'll do what I want to do. No, you won't. You just think you will. I'll live to myself and I'll die to myself. That's not Bible. Amen. You may say that. And the Bible said, no man liveth himself and no man dieth himself. You're going to have some help getting here. You're going to have some help getting. Hey, somebody had to help you when you in your birth. And somebody had to put you in the grave when you're gone. Amen. Or urn or whatever you use. They got to help you. Are you with me? So you don't die to yourself. You think about it. You said, oh, I'll just go off somewhere and die. But somebody have to bury you after a while. Amen. And that won't be. Listen, the animals come along and chew you up. You are still not by yourself. Amen. Now we'll go a little bit further. Look at this. I tell you, He's made us His instruments. I and you are instruments of righteousness for His name's sake. We're His property. I've done said that. But God has given us eyes to see the wonders of His glory. God has given us eyes to see the miraculous things that He's done. God has given us eyes to see what the Lord has done, is doing. And He gives us a few little spiritual eyes to see what He's going to do through the Word of God. I know some things God is going to do because I read it in the Word of God. It ain't happened yet. I already get excited about some of that. You said, oh, you're talking about prophecy? Some of that prophecy, you don't know exactly what's going on. You got your speculation of what it is and what you believe it is and the leadership of what the Spirit of God may teach you, but nobody knows all the prophecy. But there's a few. I believe I know more about prophecy tonight than they did way back yonder. Now, I've seen more of it unfold in front of me in the last 100 years. Of course, I ain't been around 100. Amen. Amen. Who would have believed you'd ever seen the technology that we have today? Can you imagine when they was climbing a telephone pole and doing this dot, 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 you know, a dash and a dot and a dash and a dot, trying to send a telegraph somewhere? And now everybody's got a satellite in the air with a telephone hung to their ear. Amen. And imagine, after you and me are gone, what are they going to have? The Lord tarries is coming. No telling. Look at the technology it's all around. But what I'm trying to tell you is God has given us some eyes to see. Not only has God given us some eyes to see, He's given us some ears, thank God, to hear the Word of God. Some of us use them for garbage cans, but God wants us to use them to hear the Word. He's given us the Word of God. It's going back to Psalm 119. We need to hear so that we can heed the Word. And so we go back. He's given us ears. He's given us feet. Amen. To carry the Word. To carry the message. Carry His Word. He's given us mouths to speak the praise of His glory. Amen. That we ought to lift up His voice, our voice, and carry on for Him. He's given us souls to dwell in tonight. Thank God, I'm glad He dwells there. He's given us hands to be led, and not only be led, but to lead others. lead others to Christ. So we're instruments of righteousness. Thank God for the Word of God and what it makes out of us. Amen. The Word of God can make you what you need to be. You've already tried to make yourself what you want to be. But God wants to take His Word and make you what you need to be. Amen. I've done a bad job on some of the things that I've made myself to be. But He's always been right. I'm amazed at how God can take nothing and make something out of it. I'm amazed how God can take what we can't even think can be usable, that God can make it the best thing it ever been. Amen. I'm amazed at that. I'm amazed at it. I just see what God does. God can multiply what we do. He does multiply what we do. And He will multiply what we do when we commit it all to the Word of God. Meditate on it. Study it. Read it. Hold to it. Heed it. Herald it. Let the world know that there's a Christ tonight that saves. Amen. Heads bowed. Thank you tonight for coming. Thank you for being here. Thank God, the Word of God, it stirs me up every time I begin to read all these scriptures and these things. Amen. Mainly tonight, I just tried my best to try to remind you and bring to your remembrance what God has done, is doing, and will do. Amen. Get you the place that you'll know. And you said, I already know those things. That's right. But we just kind of reach down on the inside and try to pull it up a little bit where we can see it.